Hey, everybody, you're about to listen to our brand new podcast, Nightmare Neighbors. And if you like it, please do me a favor. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. In exchange for that, I'm going to put you into a drawing for a $250 Amazon gift certificate, gift card, whatever you want to call it, gift credit, whatever it is these days. Anyway, all you have to do is leave that review on Apple Podcasts. Send me the screenshot. Send it to Tony@nightmareneighbors.com. And then shortly, I'll be picking one person at random and sending you that Amazon gift card for $250. Yes, just leave the review, Apple Podcasts. That's what helps spread the word that this show exists, that people know about it. Those reviews are tremendously helpful in us getting this show off the ground. So if you like it, please leave us that review on Apple Podcasts. Send me the screenshot to Tony, TONY@nightmareneighbors.com, and you'll be in the drawing for that Amazon gift card. I hope you like the show. I hope you can take the 30 seconds to leave the review, and I'll get yourself in that drawing for that gift certificate. Now, without further ado, Nightmare Neighbors, everybody. Flute players, excessive animal noises, and graphically loud sex. Just a few of the traits that one family had to endure from their new neighbors. Not exactly something a simple note could fix. That's today on Nightmare Neighbors.
Sometimes the people who reside just steps from your front door turn out to be the craziest you'll ever meet. Ever have a nightmare neighbor? Share your story now by calling 888-68-CRAZY or write in at nightmareneighbors.com. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
That it is, 888-68-CRAZY, the phone number to call, toll free, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Share your nightmare neighbor story with us. Love to hear it. Or write in at nightmareneighbors.com. Pretty darn easy to do so. And share those nightmare neighbor stories with us. That is how we create our program. It's by sharing your stories. So we'd love to hear them. Do it completely anonymously. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again. Hi. I got to turn your mic on. There we go. Hi.
He always mutes me.
Yep. But hi. And how are you on this? Fine. This is our in this studio. In this setting, which actually, helped inspire the program. The program was suggested by one of our favorite listeners,
yes.
Stacy, but the drive, I think, to get it going inspired while we're sitting in this studio or in this property. It's our last, this is literally the last show that you and me are recording in this studio today, before we move.
So not sad. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been sad to leave other studios. Like, I think I teared up when we left our last studio in mm-hmm. Branson because I did love that house.
Yeah.
I just hated Branson.
Sure.
And now it's kind of like, I'm not even a little bit sad to leave this neighborhood.
Yeah.
Not even a little.
Yeah. I like the studio. Yeah. I was just starting to get it kind of cozy, and then we took everything down for staging and selling. So it was cozy for 2 days. But but I'm looking forward to the new studio because it's smaller, and it's more. It reminds me more of my of the first studio we ever had,
where we started the show.
Where we started the show, a little more intimate, and I like tiny spaces. I mean, if I could be in a closet, I would.
Yeah.
It's tinier, it's more cozy, so I'm looking forward to that. But this one has been a good space. I have not disliked it at all, except for when quarantine happened, and then I saw the crazy neighbors out my window every single 0.5 seconds, and jogging with man bros on in reverse, like a relay race, like he's going to get erasers. I'm just ready.
Does it make you feel better to know with just the slightest, tiniest bit of research, we figured out just what a bad person that person is?
We did find out some pretty bad shit. And we can talk about that later in the show.
Okay.
If you've been a listener to our program for any point of time, you've heard some of our own nightmare neighbor stories, and we've shared some of it. And then just when you kind of think like, they're kind of a douche, or he's kind of a douche, like it's like, oh, holy shit. If this is everything that I think it is, wow, this really does seem kind of,
it's a new low.
Douche-tastic. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, we'll get to it in just a little bit. But yeah, I was kind of shaking my head like, oh my God, I can't believe that. But anyway, we'll talk about that shortly. If you have a Nightmare Neighbor story, 888-68-CRAZY is the phone number to call, or you can write in at nightmareneighbors.com. We would love to hear your story. Next, our first story, it says, several years ago in Boulder, Colorado, my wife and I landed our dream apartment. Price is much lower than others in the neighborhood. I had a washer and dryer included, private parking, countless windows, a backyard, and was in a great location. It was simply perfect for us. We finally found our perfect place and signed the lease that same day. The first month was pure bliss, and there was no one occupying the apartment directly above us. We settled in quickly, and although we had only been there a few weeks, we decided that we would stay there if possible. In Boulder, a place like this was nearly impossible to find in that price range. However, things changed quickly. One day, we noticed a couple moving their belongings up the stairs into their apartment. They seemed nice enough, and we were not too worried at all. In fact, we even thought we might become friends, seeing as we both had pets and were around the same age. But after only a day or two, we realized that we would never be friends with these two, no matter how hard we tried. Apparently, they were both flute players, professionally so. They'd practice at all hours of the day and night, the same songs over and over and over. As a light sleeper, this was hell. It was enough to drive a person mad, and it did. My wife and I were driven totally insane from the nonstop flute scales. On top of this, rather than taking their dog out to the park only a short walk away, they'd play fetch with their dog inside of the apartment, paws and claws and scurrying across the floor every single day. The final straw comes from the fact that the man would have very loud and graphic orgasms. Good for them, I suppose, but it was the last thing I wanted to hear after an hour of dueling flute jam sessions, and yes, dueling, back and forth flute battles. Unfortunately, we did not renew our lease and moved to Oregon to escape the sounds that still haunt my dreams to this very day. Love you, Briskies. Take care. Dueling flute battles. Jeez.
Well, one time at band camp, is all I could think about with the flutes and the sex and the whole story. So, do you remember?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, do they sit there and just like get into their flute playing back and forth?
It's foreplay.
Yeah, like two rabid Kenny G's and with flutes, and it's just like they just keep going, and all of a sudden they just rip each other's clothes off because they got so excited going at it with the flute duels.
Yep. Flute foreplay. That's a new one.
That is, yeah. Wow. Well, there you go. Flute foreplay. You know, if you're in a orchestra or something as an adult, you'd think of people, you know, you'd have to certainly practice your craft and your flute. But a lot of times you think of flute playing, you think of like a 13-year-old girl in band, and that's who typically has the flute.
No offense to flute players.
No, it's not, you know, there's probably not a lot of them in terms of the odds of running into adult flute players that play at any level like that frequently.
So there's a mad attraction there.
It was just like, holy shit, is there like a term for flute players, like a flutie or something? Are you
flutist? I don't know.
I have no idea. But wow, well, that's a good one. Thank you for sharing that that adventure with us, with the mad flute players. So, do you another story, or you want to talk about our story?
I don't know. I'm stuck on circular breathing with that old story.
I'll let you think about that for a little bit.
Thanks.
888-68-CRAZY is our phone number here on this show. 888-68-CRAZY to call in your crazy neighbor story. Do it completely anonymously. Or you can write it in. Do so on our website at nightmareneighbors.com. Next one says, hi, I'm going to keep this short for my sake and for yours, but I'm looking for some tips to help fix the situation. Shortly after my husband and I moved into my parents' house last August, our new neighbors moved into the house across from ours. They are a tire repair business, and they rented out of their shop. The incidents began around mid-September. I've compiled a list of things that they have done since this began. The man has yelled at me to slow down on at least three different occasions, though I was going about 8 miles an hour, which is the speed I always go down that road, and nobody else has complained. He put up a 5-mile-an-hour sign at the entrance of the neighborhood shortly after the first incident. He falsely accused me of almost running over his dog twice, who was in the front yard, an unfenced yard with no collar or leash. The dog also has a bad habit of running towards moving vehicles. I always try to keep my German Shepherd on a leash for this exact reason. On several different occasions, he's blocked the entrance of the neighborhood with his vehicles and stood by said vehicles, chatting with his buddies without moving aside to let me through. Many times I had to park my at the store near my house for an hour or two before he finally moved. He began putting up cameras all around the house and shop. I'm certain he did not discuss that with the woman who owns the house he's renting. My parents both know that woman, and all the previous tenants never put up cameras because she did not want them on her house. He also put up a sign and leaned it against my mailbox. I took it personally. It kept getting knocked down by my stepfather, so he moved it closer to his shop. I do not want to report him necessarily because that may cause more issues, and I'm not in the position to deal with any more bull. Should I contact 311 and file a complaint?
What is 311?
I don't know if 311 is like a city thing or 311 is like a 911 in another country like Canada or something.
Well, I would say it's not an emergency. It's just very much a nuisance. So yeah. If it's a number that you can call to report a nuisance, to have non-emergency law enforcement come and talk to him,
yeah,
maybe that would be good. But it sounds like he's taking, you know, the the running of the neighborhood into his own hands, and it's not his duty.
The thing is, with people like that, you can't go at them with a fly swatter, you know, or you can't go at them with a newspaper and try and swat them down, because they're just going to get away, and they're going to be even more angry, and they're going to come back 10 times worse than what they were with. If you call that line, what's going to happen? You got to look at that. Is anything going to be enforced, or is it just going to be a, hey, you know, You really shouldn't be doing this, or hey, we need to actually get a letter from the person who owns the property complaining, saying that mm-hmm. they can't be doing this. And then in the meantime, this person is going to make life even that much more of a living hell.
Yeah.
When you have someone like that, that just is kind of, they got their tentacles all over the place on different things, and they're a nuisance and they're causing problems, and you can easily look down the road and see this being far worse than it currently is today, but you'd rather not have to get to that point. You want to quash it right now and stop it. Whatever authority figure you get involved, you need to have a rock solid case that they can go in essentially, not with the fly swatter, but with the bulldozer and knock it down. Mm-hmm. Not saying his house, it's being metaphorical, mm-hmm. but it needs to be 100%. There ain't going to be him walking away a half hour later after being talked to, and now then going after you 10 times worse with just another tentacle that you can complain about. But again, it's not going to get much done. It's more so itemized huge list of shit, dates, times, everything, you know, to the point of, you know, restraining order, although there's obviously ways around that. But there's, you know, you got to, unfortunately, in cases when it's renting and things, either you got a rock solid case and you can get that person out of there and you can live in peace and harmony, or you're going to just have to fucking move just because it doesn't work in your way, unfortunately, more times than not.
Yeah. I just do shit back.
Yeah. And that doesn't work.
It doesn't work, but it makes you feel better.
Sure. But that's the thing. It just continually stirs the pot, and then it just, you know, you got to have like big solid.
I know
evidence.
You need to be a grown up about it and all that crap. I know.
So unfortunately, that's where I think that they might be in their case. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 888-68-CRAZY is our phone number. 888-68-CRAZY to share your nightmare neighbor story with us. Or write in at nightmareneighbors.com. So As this airs, we're long gone out of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
But we've shared some stories about the man bro that sprints
bra.
And then the children that are completely out of control that tried to suffocate our child. But of course, it was our child's fault because she was overreacting when she wasn't getting enough oxygen. And they went answer the door when we came over to ask them to please have their children stop harassing our child.
They've all heard the story.
Yeah.
But I think the latest thing is the fact that they spent most of Saturday beating a ball against the side of our house to the point where we had to call the dad and say, can you get your kids to stop, please?
Yeah.
We didn't even go outside. We don't even open the blinds on that side of the house anymore.
It was just like, hey, could you please do that?
Sure.
Okay. That's all. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, so we've reached, Jenny's great at Facebook stalking people, or just finding information.
It's a talent. I can find out shit about just about anybody.
Should be like a private investigator.
I should be.
Kind of are for our show.
I am.
Anyway. And we never use names of anybody, and we never will. But this was interesting. We had discovered that this individual's wife had passed on years ago and has been remarried since. Mm-hmm. And here's where it gets kind of weird. Very well off. Got the Mercedes. Got. You know, they're, you know, at least visually, at least from what you see, I don't have access to their bank account, but.
No, but I have access to the job title and they're fine.
Yeah. So it looks to be pretty good. Now, I have no problem in the world with things like GoFundMe and things of that nature when you are in a dire need situation. Like, oh my God, my insurance sucks. My medical costs, I need help. You don't have any income. And you have to pay for a funeral. There's all sorts of ways where GoFundMe makes a lot of sense.
Or somebody has set it up for you, and it's not really something you asked them to do.
But it's a tribute.
They did. Yeah. And, you know, for most people, it's appreciated.
Yeah.
Not every case is it something that is needed.
Yeah. And I get it if it's something that someone that's beloved and a friend or somebody sets us up saying, hey, let's create this fund. For family member, for say a college fund or something like that. Okay, great. You know, it's an in memory type deal. Mm-hmm. The digging that we did and what we found was not that.
No.
It was, from what we could tell, appears to be a GoFundMe set up the day after she dies
by him.
With a sob story. And it is a sad story. Of you know, these kids aren't going to have their mom anymore. But it was like a marketing piece, the way it was written. And it's like, holy shit, like the day after she died, you wrote like a marketing piece and started begging people for money?
Has a degree in marketing. Just throwing that out there.
It just was like, holy shit. It just seemed like this doesn't seem right. Even in the aspects of like, well, you can probably afford this yourself, but in the aspect of you did this yourself. It wasn't like a friend or someone who was fond of them that created this. It's like, how can I cash in on death?
Okay.
That's how I'm taking it.
So my question was to Tony, the day after I die, are you going to set up a GoFundMe for Harp and Liv's weddings and college?
No.
Is that going to be the first thing you do?
Like, not even before, on the radar.
Before I'm in the ground?
No.
Or urn? Ever. Or wherever? Because I get it. There are people that need GoFundMes even just to cover funeral costs.
Sure.
This and that is makes not sense. That. No. I'm like, okay, did this go to pay for which Mercedes?
Yeah, I know. It was just like, what the fuck? Now, I mean, GoFundMe, I think there's good places for it. Like, if for some reason one of us got some sort of horrible illness and insurance sucked and it was like, oh my God, are we going to be homeless? Then I say, you know, let's look at that. I say that for any individual who is going through something like
we've
that.
We've contributed to GoFundMes for people for that purpose. Yeah,
with legitimate things.
Yes.
This one was just like, oh my God, how did you even manage to like irk out this little marketing piece? Like, well, she's not even in the fucking ground yet.
And the thing is,
so that, It's kind of one of those things you go, huh? Things that make you go, huh? So it's just when you already kind of have had it with someone, and then you find out something more of like, oh, wow, this really verifies you're a horrible person. At least that's how it appears.
Yeah.
If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But, and I'll be the first to admit it, but outside appearances from everything that you see and you can kind of connect dots, that's really how it looks.
Yeah.
So there you go. Good times. Good times. So,
and that's all we will ever say about them again, because we're leaving.
Yeah. So any nightmare neighbor stories you have, let us hear them. You can call in at 888-68-CRAZY, 888-68-CRAZY, or write in at nightmareneighbors.com. Next story says, my neighbors and I have an ongoing battle. We do not really know or understand why it got so bad. The rent, they rent and have been there for about 4 years. We own and have been here for 13 years. Their driveway is directly next to our yard, and there is an encroachment agreement for their garage that is on our property by a couple of inches. We have no issues with any previous tenants and have been friends with all of them. Here are some of the things we've had to deal with. It started when he would idle his loud, stinky truck on high for 1 to 2 hours at a time. We asked him to stop or compromise or something because fumes were coming into our house and making us physically sick. Not to mention that it rattled our walls. Being less than 6 feet from our house, we offered cookies with our complaint to them as a heel or here. We don't want to cause problems. Please help us find a solution. They gave back the cookies and it did not stop. We tried to ignore it. Then they parked their RV just enough on our property that we could not use our back gate. This caused issues. We asked them that the next time it is moved, if they could inch it over. They said no, and that it was not on our property at all. He would not answer the door when we tried to talk to him about it again to compromise. So we called the law to get it moved right then instead. Then he started posting false ads with our personal information full of name, address, phone number all over the place. My phone was going crazy. We contacted the people where the ads were being placed and they were removed. Then he started blowing dirt and grass and leaves into our freshly groomed lawn and parking it enough that it was creating a mud pit. In the winter, he kept shoveling snow into our sidewalks and blowing snow against the house and back door. We asked to stop via note since they were not home, and talking previously did not do any good. We received a note back that said, why don't you fuck off? Nobody likes you. We decided that once the snow was gone, we would build a fence because we had enough and bylaw and ramp were not interested or able to help, simply telling us to be good neighbors. We have tried. We installed surveillance cameras, one that runs down the side of our house and catches their driveway, which is visible to the street. We blacked out the areas where their kitchen windows are out of courtesy, even though we could not really see inside the house anyways. They started flipping the bird to the camera every single day for 2 years. We built that fence that ran down the entire length of our property. They kept running into it, leaning heavy items against it, pulling and pushing against it, and causing it to lean slightly. We did nothing since it was still intact and still sturdy. He threw garbage over the fence one day. We had a dog that would eat the dumbest shit, and we were worried he would, it would cause her health issues. So we talked to them over the fence. His wife said that her husband would not do that, even though we had a clear shot of him doing it on surveillance. She demanded we remove the camera, and we declined since it was installed to keep tabs on the shit they were doing to our property. She insisted we were lying again, surveillance to prove otherwise. The next morning, we had a threatening note left in our mailbox calling us cocksuckers and to grow some balls. And then an RCMP officer showed up to talk to us about the threat we made to the neighbor. We explained our version, offered them the surveillance footage of both the garbage being tossed over the fence and the conversation that took place after. They reviewed it and decided to read the neighbors the Riot Act and stopped untoward behavior against us. So on and on. Last year, we had him on camera pouring antifreeze into our diesel fuel tank. The police were called. They knew he did it. They wanted to act on it. The Crown prosecutor said no because their caseload was too busy. Yes, the truck was wrecked. Sure, we got insurance, but we're out of deductible, and the long-term damages are not obvious when something like this first happens. A few weeks later, food was tossed into our yard from their backyard, and we were scared he was trying to poison our dog. More petty BS things. We were legit scared for our safety at this point because we have had authorities involved frequently, and most of them admit that they see our neighbor as a real psychopath, but they cannot do anything about it, cannot or will not. The landlords think we should have them over for coffee to see if they would never do these things that we imagined at all. Seriously, what the actual fuck? We wanted to take them to court, but in speaking with our lawyer, he did not feel confident that we would get enough to be worth our court costs. We decided to sell our house and get a restraining order against them that we filed. They made a counterclaim and decided to fight the order. They threatened us. We persisted. We ended up agreeing to a mutual restraining order, which has been easy enough for us to follow. Things quieted down. Our house was listed, and now we wait because COVID has thrown a hitch in our plans of getting the fuck away from these people since real estate has slowed down right now. We thought things settled, but they have recently started up again, despite a no watching or staring clause in the order. He has been doing it frequently. Him and his buddies have been staring at us and our yard through a gap he's created between the fence and garage. We fixed that gap so we cannot see as much. And then yesterday, he swerved towards us on the road. The police cannot do anything again since it is our word against the neighbors, despite the longstanding history of him lying and causing problems. We are done. We just want to move. We've been packed and ready for months. Rumor has it that we have a buyer, but they must sell their home first. We have taken the higher ground the entire time. We've taken measures to protect ourselves and our property, but it's never enough, and now we want to hurt them in a way they feel it. But you know what? We will not, despite the title of my letter, because it will not help matters. It will only cause a faster and worse escalation, and nothing will be solved. Someone may land in jail or a graveyard. Instead, I'd love to hear what you guys would do in this situation. It's been taking its toll on me and my family.
I think you've done everything exactly the way I would have done it.
Without snakes?
Well, I don't think snakes are going to affect those people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are more the kind of people that throw snakes. Which I don't know what that says about me, but anyway. No, I think they've done everything they can, and they've done it the way they should. Hopefully this buyer does go through, and hopefully it's a more positive interaction between the new owners and those people. But mm-hmm. I hate that they had to get a mutual restraining order because that goes on their record too.
Mm-hmm. And the only reason for that would be the assholes over there just going, screw you, we should have this mutual.
Yeah.
And just to be an asshole. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way it can be enforced. That's where you need a sane judge to be able to look at that and go, no, there doesn't need to be a mutual restraining order.
Yeah.
You just, it's against you. It's not, but you never know what you're going to get. So I feel horrible that you have to go through that. Thank you for sharing that story with us. If you need more places need another place to have an outlet to vent, our phone line and our website's always open to let it out. That number, 888-68-CRAZY, 888-68-CRAZY, or you can write in at nightmareneighbors.com. Let's go to our next one. It says, we moved into a house in November. It's been a dream, and I've done a ton of work to it, especially in the yard, so we can enjoy our quarantine outside. Last month, a new neighbor moved in next door. No for sale sign, and the house sold last fall, so I presume they're renting. Since they moved in, it's been awful. She has two terribly behaved dogs. I love dogs and have my own who behaves well because we trained her. They bark constantly and aggressively when I'm outside in my driveway or yard, or if we open the windows on the side of the house. They even tried to lunge at my dog through the fence since she collects their shit in a bucket in the front of the property, and it seems unholy all day long. She attached a bamboo contraption to the wire fence that is twice the height and looks like it's going to snap and damage my property. Her yard is filled with garbage and junk and looks just terrible. It's been hugely disappointing. I do not want to be an asshole, but I am an essential healthcare staff, and when I get home, I do not have the capacity to argue with this woman about it. Today, I wrote a letter I intend to send via registered mail to the address with the name landlord and or owner, detailing my concerns with appropriate bylaws and municipal code violations. I signed it, but did not put my name or return address. I have never done this before, and I feel like an ass. I feel like I should talk to her, but I really do not have the capacity to deal with that and potentially having my next door neighbor be more malicious. Anyone have any suggestions on how to manage this if you think maybe this is not the best plan?
No, I say go about finding out if it's a rental, because if it's a rental, then you can put pressure on the owner, and that usually causes something to happen.
If it's going to financially impact the owner, that seems to be the thing to do. And however that's going to financially impact them worse is the route to take. And the owner is going to take a look at, well, what's going to be worse, trying to get this property filled with a tenant or keeping the existing tenant and just dealing with the complaint and paying, you know, minute fine of some sort? Or is it going to be a consistent, the city's on me all the time because I'm not taking care of this? Then that's what would make that landlord finally say, okay, I have to do something about this tenant because the bad outweighs the good of collecting that rent check from those people. Mm-hmm. So that's where the pressure needs to be applied. Good luck in that. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. That is going to wrap up today's episode of the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. If you like our program, press subscribe, whatever it is you are listening to us on. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We greatly appreciate that. Helps us grow in the rankings as this program grows. And of course, share your Nightmare Neighbor stories with us at nightmarenabors.com. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to the Nightmare Neighbors podcast.